The World Tomorrow. Garner Ted Armstrong brings you the plain truth about today's world news and the prophecies of the world tomorrow.
If Jesus Christ of Nazareth were to come back to this earth today, would he unite all the churches and religions? Would he bring all governments together? Would he solve the problems of the economy and give everybody a good and a well-paying job? Would he cure everybody of every disease? And would he resurrect people out of the graveyards? And would he usher in a millennial rule of peace and bring the world peace with justice at last? If he were to come again today as a humble carpenter, but this time in 20th century garb with 20th century disciples, I think the one big question would not be whether he would be received or accepted by society. The one big question would be, would they want to use gas or the electric chair? Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man almost nobody knows. And yet here's the bestseller book, millions upon millions of them bought and owned, of course, by people every single year, a consistent bestseller, translated into so many languages, sent around the world. In one sense of the word, the very backbone of our so-called Western Christian civilization. A name that is known by everybody, from little tiny kids who first hear it in cursing, like as not, in the household, to people in the Orient and people of other religions who have heard about Jesus Christ. And yet, in spite of the fact there are four whole books of that New Testament of the Bible devoted exclusively to the life and the times of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to what he said, what he was like, the fact that there are Old Testament prophecies that describe what he was to look like, that there are New Testament statements about his race, what race he belonged to, that there are statements about his birth, about his boyhood, about his practice and his job before his ministry, about the disciples and how they were called, what his commission was to them, exactly what he came to do in his own mouth, in his own words, what he himself said. In spite of the fact Jesus came and said that he spoke to the cloud and concealed the meaning, so people wouldn't understand what he said. In spite of the fact he said, lest they should turn and be converted and I should heal them. In spite of the fact that he said, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. The world has somehow, down through the centuries, managed to appropriate a fictitious figment of somebody's imagination down in the 4th, 6th, 8th, or 10th century. Because look how many thousands of years have gone by, almost 2,000, hundreds and hundreds of years, since Jesus Christ of Nazareth walked the earth. How much do you suppose the story could lose in the telling if people refused to look to the original authors who knew Jesus Christ? You know, the average person in society is a complete biblical illiterate. They have all sorts of opinions and ideas about what the Bible is supposed to say, but they know virtually nothing about the Bible. They've never gotten around to reading it for themselves. And when they do, they say, well, the Bible's a confusing book. I just can't understand it. It's written in kind of strange language. There are quite a number of popular modern English versions, inaccurate as all get out when it comes to theological research and exegesis. Illogical as anything could be when it comes to actual faithful interpretation of an original, as if people are treating it as the sacred and the holy word of God that needs to be faithfully transmitted and translated as accurately as you can possibly get it from one language to another. But those who have tended to try to make it easy reading and to magnify it and to enlarge it and so on have put all sorts of additional words and meanings into various scriptures that didn't even belong there in the beginning. But at least some people are beginning to read it more and more, but not anywhere near enough. And there remains this tremendous confusion about the personality of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what he looked like, what he did. You know, when you talk about the things people don't know about him, it is absolutely amazing. They don't know when he was born. They think on or about December 25th, when the truth is it was early autumn. They don't know why Jesus Christ of Nazareth was born. Why he came to the earth, they think he came to save the world. And the Bible plainly says he did not. He didn't try to save it then, and he's not trying to save it now. He will set his hand to save it in the future, as Bible prophecy proves. They don't know what race to which Jesus belonged. And the Bible plainly says it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah and gives his genealogy in two separate places. The virgin birth is denied by many people, thought of as an absolute farce by many people, along with every miracle that Jesus was ever reported to have done. They want to humanize Christ and make Christ in their own personal image. He's called everything from a fraud to an absolute, well, the very unpolite and unkind word they used for him there, I don't want to repeat, is even believed by some people today. He's been called a homosexual. He's been called a mushroom. People have made up ideas that he was some kind of a drug cult, instead of a human being and a personality in the first place. So you can say almost anything about Jesus Christ of Nazareth and get your name in the papers and maybe write a book about it and make a little bit of money for some far-afield concocted idea about Jesus Christ. But the real Jesus, the one revealed in the pages of the Bible, is almost unknown by most people today. Now, last time we were speculating some ways in which a ministry of a Jesus Christ could be hampered if it were to occur in our society today, if he were to come today. I showed at the end of the last program that Jesus would not compete with religions, that he would not try to get on Face the Nation and Meet the Press, that he wouldn't go seeking interviews with big magazines and newspapers and trying to get his message across to the public today any more than he did then. You see, he came and he gave his message to his disciples and he told them, "You go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." But for the purposes of maybe educating us all to the fantastic irony of what would occur if Jesus were to come back as a humble carpenter today, let's just speculate again what might occur if, say, Jesus were accused of being an unequal opportunity employer. He would have all these disciples lined up there, and you'll know that they came from the same tribes that he did, basically. And therefore, they were all, quote, white people. There are an awful lot of racist people in this world, and there are an awful lot of people who can walk right out the doorsteps of their church and light up a cigar and puff away and say, "That was sure a good sermon there, Pastor," while they got racism unparalleled beating away in their hearts. I mean, so far as I'm concerned, religious people have come up with some of the world's worst cases of hatred, of backbiting, of hypocrisy, and especially of racism, of any other particular kind of sin you want to mention. I think that some dyed-in-the-wool, Bible-thumping, fire-and-brimstone, snorting, stentorian type evangelicals in the Western world of so-called Christianity have been filled with about as much racism as anybody. But you know, somebody might come up and say, "Well, now, if you are the Savior of all mankind, how come you don't have at least one black man, one American Indian, and five or six women as members of your disciples?" So there would be quite a squabble, and then other people would get in the act. Look at Central and South American races with patron saints that they have that are of their color and their tradition and so on. Wouldn't everybody then want to get in the act and say, "Look, you've got to have at least one black, one Asian, one Chicano, one Arab, one Jew, one Italian." Everybody would want to be represented. As a matter of fact, they would want Christ to have maybe one black hand and one brown, and a white foot, and maybe a yellow foot, and a brown eye, and a blue eye, and be all kinds of splotched and striped colors, so we could satisfy everybody. He would have to be, I guess, neuter, because if he's male, the women aren't going to like it. I mean, some women aren't going to like it, with a women's lib idea. And why were they all Jews? What was it? They would say today, I suppose, if they were on such a program, you know, "Well, why all Jews? What is this, a Jewish conspiracy?" Because we know, don't we, that it's those Jews. They're behind practically everything. At least that's what people would begin to say. You talk about racism. When you see people talking about the Jews and Jewish bankers and Jewish money grabbers and this and that, I get mail that would lift your skull. If people could break out in a rash who have racism, you wouldn't even be able to see through the great splotches and the burbles on people's faces to walk around the streets of our society filled with various antagonisms against minority groups. But I'll tell you this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, if he were to come as a humble carpenter from Nazareth today, would be no more readily received than he was then. And the chances are very, very great and very serious that if he were to come that way, the world would put him to death all over again.
Would you recognize a picture of Jesus Christ? Millions would, but almost nobody knows the man. The Ambassador College publication entitled The Real Jesus shows how the traditional Renaissance paintings of Jesus are diametrically opposed to the dynamic, masculine, powerful Christ described in your Bible. The man from Galilee is shrouded in mystery. Millions disagree on the manner of his birth, his message, his family, why and if he died, his resurrection, and where he is now. The Christian world is confused about the true Jesus, but now you can discover the real Jesus.
You can prove what he taught, how he lived, and who he is from the pages of your own Bible. You'll see why the traditional Sunday school picture of Christ is not the real Jesus. Write for this surprising booklet. Your copy will be sent free of charge when you request The Real Jesus. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO, Sydney, New South Wales. You know, the difficulties in a Jesus Christ of Nazareth coming back to this earth today in this 20th century space age and thinking about all of the laws, the restrictions that there would be in our society. You got to go crazy. You got to have almost a degree in economics or something to know how to run a normal household today when it comes tax time especially. You stop to think about all the difficulties he would have, and it almost makes it look like it would be impossible. Let's take a few examples. This one is found in Matthew 6, 37 to 44, and it talks about the example of how Jesus fed the 4,000 and 5,000. You know what he would need today? A permit to assemble. He'd have to get a permit from the city or the local community, first of all, or the county. And what about sanitation facilities for all those people running around trampling over somebody's ground? You can't find any ground. I don't care where you go. You're going to be either on BLM or somebody's private deeded or leased ranch land somewhere. You can go into what you think is a national forest area in the United States of America looking for a place for a picnic. You know what you're going to see? Mile after mile of peripheral ranch land and leased land adjacent to national forest land, where you see one sign after another that says, get out, keep out, get off my land, go home. Do not look at my property. Get your eyes off my pine tree. Do not make footy prints along my roadside. Do not breathe my air. Go home. Turn around. Not wanted. Beware of dog. Careful. Farmer is known to shoot. And so on. Now, you may think I'm kidding if you live in some smog-bound city and you never get a chance to go out looking for a place to dip your little pinkies in a free-running brook someplace in Uncle Sam's good old outdoors wilderness. If you get out there, you're going to find the chances are that you've been beat to that beautiful idyllic spot by about 24 hippie types who like as not are having a love in and got a bunch of great big loud blaring amps and reverbs out there, and the whole forest, the trees are just about doing this dance and the rocks coming down. I'll never forget, I turned around a corner going up a little gulch toward Cripple Creek, Colorado, that fabulously rich in history western gold mining town. I heard this din, I couldn't believe it. It like to knock the headlights out of the automobile. We came around the edge and here were some hippie types sprawled out in this, the only beautiful place to stop on the whole route. There was a little stream with trees going by. And they were lying out there, I think they had clothes on, I'm not sure. And they had these amps, and those things must have weighed a ton. They were as big as, you know, half a truck. How they wrestled them out of that truck or that van and got them out there, I don't know. Here they were out there in God's beautiful wilderness. You know what they had going? Oh, a clanging, jangling thing. Well, you try to go out into some of these areas, and you've got to get either a permit or permission, and chances are you're going to get charged to set foot on the ground. So if Jesus could take 4,000, how are you going to get away with that? 4,000 people. You know what the local ranchers would say if they saw 4,000 people walking out of a city or a town, going out somewhere, and some guy breaking a lot of bread and passing it around? They'd throw him in jail. They really would. So remember, these people followed him for 3 consecutive days. What if somebody got sick? The local county and the city health people would get after them, not only for sanitation, but the beat kind of people, weak people, whoever they are, would probably get after them. Look at all those babies going hungry. What about these mothers that are nursing, going without food? What's that going to cause? And so what about camping permits to remain overnight? And what about the food that was fed to them? 2 or 3 guys dressed in white run up and grab the basket and say, hold it, just a minute, did you have that food infected? And about that time, somebody from the FDA would show up and want to go get a sample of the flour and find out what you had in it. Getting rid of the health laws would be incredible. Jesus would have a problem going out in the wilderness feeding 4,000 and 5,000 by a miracle these days. Besides that, the press would be there, and the cameras grinding away, and people watching and writing notes and watching everything he did, and they would claim it was some kind of a magical trick anyhow. What about the example of the fishermen when Jesus is showing them about catching fish? And what about union fees for them? The sons of Zebedee. What about being able to catch fish without a license? What about the time when Jesus stood on the shore and said, children, have you any meat? And they said, well, no, master. And they recognized a little later on who it was, but then they didn't. And so that was when Peter flung himself in and swam to shore, and he recognized after the resurrection that that was Jesus Christ the Messiah. And he said, why don't you try the net on the other side? And so they did. And it said they drew up a great net of fishes, so big it like to broke the net. You know what they would get in trouble for? Well, in the first place, a lot of environmentalists would say, why, you greedy game hogs. They would say, you've caught way over your limit. They'd probably get a ticket from the fish warden or the game warden for catching over their limit. And also a lot of people would say, you let those poor fish strangle to death instead of killing them one by one. And other people would say, if you kill a fish, you probably killed your paternal grandmother anyhow. So the furor over that and hauling in so many fish, the boat almost sank. Other people would say, what are you doing standing up in a boat without a life preserver? And they would also say, look, they nearly sank the boat. You talk about dumb, winds come up in that lake and they're not wearing life preservers. And that's against the law, and they'd call a sheriff. What about the money changers' case? He went into the temple and he kicked over all these tables. They were changing money and they were scalping a lot of, well, not scalping, but they were raking off unfairly a lot of money. I'll bet you that they would file suit against anybody doing that today. Jesus would have been in jail quickly for doing that. But instead, he appeared in the guise, which you will read in this booklet when you write for it, called The Real Jesus. He was in the guise of the proprietor of that temple, the owner of it. He said, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer, and you have made it a den of iniquity, and so on. But you can imagine what they would have filed suit against him for. He would have been charged with assault and battery, destruction of private property. He would have been sued by people who would have said, well, it's destroyed my sleep. It's made an old man out of me. I haven't been able to have any mental tranquility from the specter of that man making that whip and looking like he was going to use it on me. Martha and I have been fighting like mad lately. As a matter of fact, Martha threw my clothes out in the hall and I had to leave her. She was mad as all get out just because of what happened when he came in there and disrupted my going money-changing business. You can imagine what would have happened, and they probably would have gotten some lawyer to represent the money changers. I don't know, if Jesus came today, he would have all sorts of problems we can just begin to imagine. What about the account where he withered a fig tree? Now, he's been taken to task in books about being guilty of having done some spiteful act of just not finding fruit on a tree and saying, be thou cursed, that, you know, burdened the ground. They came back later and the fig tree was all withered. And he was showing them, so is every tree that does not bear good fruit. The husbandman might say, let us dig it and dung it and see if it bears fruit, and if it doesn't, then later on it's going to be cut down. So shall everyone be, he said, that doesn't bear fruit as a Christian, and be cast into the fire. Well, of course, if it's a public tree, you're going to have the environmentalists on your neck. You know, you can buy, well, it's tough to buy anything anymore. You can lease it. You can co-own it with the government. There are a lot of developers carving up most all of our western states, Nevada, Arizona, Utah, New Mexico, especially Colorado. And you go into beautiful, idyllic mountain areas high up in the Aspens. You say, I think I'll buy me an acre of property with a little stream running through and an old homesteader's shack, a lot of aspen and spruce trees around and so on. And maybe you'd want to go out there and cut one of those trees down, kind of improve your view through to some other mountain peaks. No, you can't either, because you might be able to think you're buying that property, but you're not. You're sharing it with those other people. And they'll tell you, you can't even cut down a tree without all kinds of rigmarole and special permission. So, now maybe that's a good idea. But you can imagine those environmentalists talking about killing that tree. Some people think trees talk. Some people think that when you hit them with an axe, they scream out. I'm not kidding you. There are people with religious ideas that think sap is more precious than blood. How dare anybody kill a tree? You can imagine what Jesus would find if he walked along and there's a fig tree that bears fruit. What about the poor birds that eat on the figs? The groups would be after him, and he'd probably be fined at least $500 or 60 days. Now, when you stop to think about the stir that a resurrection would cause, think about that for a minute. What would you imagine, and I'll come back and we'll talk about it, would be the stir that would be caused if Jesus were to come again today and were to be killed again, and then it would be claimed by a group of people who would claim they had actually seen him, up to 500. That's a lot of witnesses. Would you believe them? Would you believe 500 people? What do you suppose would be the stir and the cries that would be heard in public quarters if Jesus Christ were to come again and die and again to be resurrected?
For 40 years, the Plain Truth magazine has been supplying the missing dimension in education. The Plain Truth is published monthly as a facet of Ambassador College's in-the-home educational service. It maintains an editorial policy that incorporates this missing dimension in education.
biblical understanding. The Plain Truth, timely, informative articles deal with subjects covering success in business, recreation, politics, religion, farming. Each issue not only documents the state of today's society, but offers hope for a better world tomorrow. To serve its more than 6 million readers, The Plain Truth is published in 5 languages and is available without price or obligation to all who request it. Join the growing worldwide readership. Request your subscription to the magazine with a 40-year history of educational service to mankind. The Plain Truth. Send your request to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales, 2001.
If such a thing as a resurrection were to occur today, you know what the screams and the arguments would be in public quarters? Now, it isn't enough to have 500, it isn't enough to have 1,000 or 10,000 or 100,000 people to believe something and make you believe it if you haven't seen it with your own eyes, and you know that, and I know it. But some of the cries of alarm would be obvious. There would be magazine articles in all of the various magazines from, you name it, you know, the women's to the men's kinds of magazines, and even some of the very staid and respected ones. And no doubt, there would be all sorts of ideas about whether or not he was really dead, whether his heart might have not been able to be felt because there was no pulse, but the brain wasn't really dead. Even the Supreme Court can't agree today on what is death. I mean, they got arguments going, religious and moral, as well as philosophical and medical, about when it is that a person dies. A heart can be beating away, but they don't see anything going on in the brain or can't sense it electrically, so they take the heart out. And other people say, that's murder. Science can't even agree when you're dead. Are you dead when your heart quits or when your brain quits? I think a lot of professors could tell you half of their student body are dead if you're going to talk about the brain having quit. And lots of wives would say their husbands have been dead all their lives, as far as that's concerned. Well, they would claim it's a faked burial. Some would say it must be acupuncture. They used that and he couldn't feel a thing, laid away for 3 days and 3 nights, they faked the whole thing. Others would say that he's got a double or a twin. Still others would say, well, they say it was an airtight vault, but I think they piped oxygen in there to it. Others would say, well, it was probably a quick freeze method. But they would argue, there would be every kind of an article, somebody would come up with the idea. I remember the case of a guy that stowed away in an airplane and went clear up to about 37,000 feet where he absolutely froze. He was in the wheel well, way back in there. Now maybe there was just enough oxygen leaking out, or maybe it was semi-pressurized, but that guy was comatose when he came out of there, absolutely not moving, and rigid, and blue with cold, and yet the doctors began to gradually work on him and gave him oxygen, gradually warmed him up, and he came back to life, and he's alive today, and I'll bet that's what happened. There would be every kind of a polygraph operator, and doctors, philosophers, sightseers, and certainly religionists would begin to have fist fights. Probably, churches would split right down the middle. Religionists would probably begin to tear each other's hair out over whether or not it was real. A resurrection today would really be a sensational deal, now wouldn't it? Well, you know, it was sensational during Jesus' day. And lots of speculation over whether it was real or not really rocked that whole corner of the world during that day, except that a lot of people don't seem to know that history itself proves, as the Bible says, quote, these things were not done in a corner, in the words of the Apostle Paul. But you begin to think of the difficulties, the stir that would be caused today if Jesus were to come back just as a humble, kind carpenter from, in this case, Red Bluff or someplace, don't quote me, and try to kind of teach and preach quietly to a few people and tell everybody, look, don't advertise who I am, my time has not yet come. What about if he had a TV program and he wanted to get into pretty good time? Now, you know, a station has a series of people, officers, they've got, you know, owner and management, sometimes they're different, sometimes the same. They've got a program director. They deal through representation, or rep firms, as they're called, and the agencies represent clients to rep firms, who in turn represent various radio stations and groups of them, and so on. Somebody might say to Jesus, well, all right, what do you got you think the public wants? Go ahead, let me see your spiel. And by the way, to those 12 guys standing over there, sing. And there'd be any number of things that he might come up with. To say, well, I want to talk to them straight about their lives. Do you sing? They might say almost anything. They'd say, well, look, if you're going to go over big, like at least Jesus, if that's what you claim you are, don't you think you better change your appearance and grow long hair and maybe at least get a beard or something, because the image just isn't complete. So in reality, when you look at the miracles that Jesus, what about the case of wine, of turning about 120 or whatever it was gallons into wine? They'd probably sue him for not having a winemaking license. They'd say, you don't have a liquor license, and furthermore, you can't make that much unless you're going to drink it yourself. And he sure couldn't put away 120 gallons. And so it had to be given to other people for their use, which it was at the marriage of Cana in Galilee. And that's the very first miracle that Jesus was said to have ever done. And he could have gotten arrested in our day and age for doing even that. So when you stop to think about it, if Jesus were to come again as a humble carpenter today, he would, I think, maybe in this order, be ridiculed and belittled in the press, in the public media. He would be repeatedly run out of towns and denied a place to even remain overnight, and charged with vagrancy if he's tried to stay there. And I wanted to interrupt myself to say that, look, Jesus was not a vagrant, because Judas Iscariot carried the box, or the bag, as it was called in the Bible, which merely meant the common collection of money that they all shared. And they did pay their bills where they went. But today he would be run out of town and denied reservations in hotels and the like. He would probably be thrown in jail over and over again. He would be ridiculed in the press. He would be condemned by the leading churches. There's no doubt about that. Other churches would fight and squabble and wonder about whether he was real or not. And finally, I honestly believe, if it could be legally done, if he could be charged with the death of a child, if there could be some horrible series of terrible things he was alleged to have done that finally would mount up against him to form this kind of a case in public, he would be accused of being illegitimate and starting his whole ministry to cover it up. He would be accused of, I don't know what all, malpractice, probably practicing medicine without a license, you name it. He would be accused of practically everything, from being a person that is destroying the environment to a person who is guilty of false advertising and false claims. And he would be jailed, and finally there would be some method by which they would try to put him to death. Now that's pretty hard to understand, isn't it? Well, you read this booklet on the real Jesus Christ, and you find out, when you look into the Bible, whether or not the Jesus Christ of the Bible, not the Christ of the Jewish persecutions, or the Jesus Christ of the Crusades, the Jesus Christ of tradition or of history, but the one of the Bible, the real Jesus, of whom you can read in this booklet, giving you all the scriptures where you can read more in your own Bible, for that matter, you can read the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John there in your home anytime. You see if what you've heard me say about if he came again today, is not pretty true, and just about the way it really is. So that booklet, The Real Jesus, goes into the question of what Jesus looked like, whether or not he had long hair, what were his personal tastes, likes, dislikes, and habits, did he live in a home, or did he always camp out of doors, was he a vagabond and the world's first hippie, was he an average Jew of his day, what tribe was he, what color was he, everything is all here in this one booklet. It's a very controversial booklet, a much-needed booklet, in this day and age when Christ himself said the one major message you would be hearing about him is merely the story that he is the Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, and he said, even preaching that message, they shall deceive many. So that booklet, The Real Jesus, is free of charge. It does not ask you to join anything. There is no request for money. There is not even an envelope or anything of the kind in here that even politely or subtly urges you to do anything of the kind. But it is very valuable information. It's right out of your Bible. I challenge you not to believe one word of it until you look it up in your own Bible and prove it to yourself. This booklet, The Real Jesus, then, will have some colorful illustrations. It's got a blue cover with this kind of an institutionalized box here. It's called The Real Jesus. It is free of charge and no price.
You have been listening to The World Tomorrow. If you would like more information, write to Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales. That's Ambassador College, Box 345, GPO Sydney, New South Wales.